Hey, good morning. We're so glad that you're going to hang out with us over the next few moments. I'm Pastor Marcus Meekin with Seven Hills Church, and we absolutely love the opportunity that we have, the honor. It's an honor to us to be able to spend these next few minutes with you. Before we get to the message in just a moment, I want to encourage you that we've got a free devotional. It's absolutely free. It's our gift to you. If you'll call the number on the screen at any point in our broadcast, they'll make sure that they get that to you. It's a devotional on the book of Acts, and it walks you through how God is calling us to have the same acts that the early apostles had. In other words, what God did in that generation, God wants to do in ours, and we want to encourage you to get that free devotional. We know it'll be a blessing to you. Also, as soon as we wrap up our time together, so that's about 30 minutes from now, you can come and hang out with Seven Hills Church live and online, and they're going to tell you exactly how you can do that. And so please come and worship with us, chat with us, get to know us. And of course, there'll be a fresh message there as well. And so with that in mind, let's get right to the message.
There's only one thing that took the negative to the positive, and that is God took the prophet and he said, I need you to get your eyes off of the situation, get your eyes on me. And because he focused on God, it turned the situation around.
In Romans 8, there are seven questions that it says a conqueror asks. The first one was, what shall we say in response to these things, referring to so much suffering? The second question was, who can be against us? The third one was, if God has given us his son, will he not graciously give us all things? The fourth was, who will bring charge against those whom God has chosen? The fifth question was, who then is the one who condemns? The sixth question is, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? The seventh question is, shall trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword, any of that separate us from the love of God? And there's one response to all seven questions. And it's not limited to those seven questions. In one way or another, the author here, Paul, is trying to explain to us whatever your question is, whatever your concern, whatever your worry, whatever your battle, whatever your struggle, the answer is found in verse 37, and it begins with a no. No. All those things that are coming against you don't have the final say. It says no one or nothing shall have the final say. In all things, you are more than a conqueror through him who loved you. And I am convinced neither death nor life, angels nor demons, present or future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation. If it's been created, he's saying God at the end wants you to know none of that. If you can see it, touch it, feel it, understand it, none of it, not one thing, no demon in hell can separate you from the love of God. Why? Because we're more than conquerors. Whatever you're facing, whatever's going on, whatever the circumstance looks like, the answer is always victory for you. If God be for you, who can be against you? Give no place to the devil in Jesus' name. David was being attacked by King Saul, so he ended up banished from the palace. He's living on the run, and he ends up going to this cave that became his home. So he's in a dark, lonely, isolated place in life. He's lost pretty much everything. And while he's in this place of discouragement and depression, the Bible says 400 men are attracted to him. Now notice the kind of men that were attracted to David in that place. It says they were discouraged, discontent, in debt, and in distress. They're drawn to David. All these people that had a negative vibe about them, they're drawn to David in this place of his life where he is defeated in many ways. Now David, we know, was anointed. We know David was a psalmist. He was a worshiper. He was a singer. We know David loved God. We know he had a heart after God. We know that David is a giant killer. No question about it. David is an amazing person, but life has turned in a negative direction, and these people come into his life, and instead of David turning them, they begin to influence David. And David, the Bible says, five chapters after this, begins to say things in discouragement like, I'm going to die by the hand of Saul. I'm not going to make it. There's no way I'm going to survive this. There's no way I'm ever going to make it out of this. This is the end. This is it. It's over. It's done. It's finished. And then in the next chapter, chapter 30, he rides into Ziklag. His house is being burned down. His wife Abigail, in the Hebrew that means joy, has been kidnapped. So someone's kidnapped his wife. His joy is gone. In verse 6 of that chapter, David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. In other words, in the end, watch this. These discouraged people, these negative people that David thought, well, you know what? I'm just going to hang out with them. What's the big deal? No big thing. It's, you know, they're just, those are my friends. You know, those are my, that's my group. That's my crew. I understand they're a little messed up, but that's my crew. And he goes and he starts hanging out with them. And the very people that he thinks he can hang out with that are negative about everything in life, now they turn on him. Which is normally what will happen, by the way, in case you want to know. That person that's negative about everybody else, they're going to turn on you too. They're turning on David, and David looks everywhere. He can find no hope. And so the Bible says he encourages himself in the Lord. His home is burned to the ground. Nothing but discouraging people are around him. So negative, they've got rocks in their hands about to kill David. His joy is gone. His wife has been kidnapped. He can't find encouragement anywhere. And so he learns a valuable lesson. He learns to encourage himself in the Lord, because there's power in encouragement. And you and I have to learn to do the same thing. Why? Because if we don't, we give place to the devil. And the Bible says, as you who has a renewed mind, you are a new person. You put on that new mindset that's in Christ. You and I are to not live in a place where we're just focused on the negative. We're supposed to turn our eyes to him and realize that God, in some way, in some form, is working all things together for your good. And many of us, we come into church like this, and you're hearing sermons like this, and I already know the feeling. I already know the sense of it. I already know what's going on in your mind, because you're hurting. It's not a figurative hurting. It's not like a little bit of hurt here. You are overwhelmed. You are broken. I understand. I sometimes preach sermons, and on the inside, I'm so broken and sad, and God, I'm trying to help them, and I don't know why I can't get help. I have been in so many dark places myself, where I'm having to be on the front row and say, God, I'm just going to encourage myself. I'm going to encourage myself. Don't nobody else know, but you know, and I'm going to encourage myself. And I just showed up to talk to some of you who came in today, and you think that you're an isolated situation, and you think, why is this happening to me? Don't give place to the devil. If you can do nothing else, learn to encourage yourself. That's why the Bible says you put on the garment of praise. You have to put it on. It's a choice you make to roll out of the bed and say, I'm going to put on the garment of praise. I'm going to focus on the good. I'm going to focus on him. I'm going to get a vision of victory even in this situation. And the Bible says you do all that because it combats the spirit of heaviness. It makes the decision to say, I'm going to praise God in spite of what I'm up against. I'm going to worship him anyhow. I'm going to praise him not because I see the victory, but because I know in my heart that it's on the way. And somebody here just needed to hear from me today to learn how to encourage yourself. It's changing. It's shifting. It's not going to stay that way. The sun's going to rise again. You're going to have some good days again. You're going to laugh again. You're going to dream again in Jesus' name. You're going to love again. Encourage yourself in the Lord. The Bible says David, after that, goes to his men and he says, if we will pursue, we will recover all. Notice, because David became encouraged, his men became encouraged. Which says that if I'll get encouraged in my soul, then even those who seem discouraged around me, I can turn things. They don't have to turn me. I can turn them. If you're the leader of your home, listen, you have the power of encouragement. Think about this. I love they call Barnabas the son of consolation or the son of encouragement. In other words, he's the offspring. If you look up line and you ask who's his daddy, his name is encouragement. He's the son of it. All of us are the offspring of something and somebody. And if you look up, are you the son and the daughters of encouragement? Or are you the son and daughters of it's never going to work out? It's always going to be bad. It's always going to be messed up. And I'm not being hard on you. I'm just saying you got to have something on the inside of you that when you look up, you say, God is my father and God knows and God is on my side. And you know what the Bible says? That David and his men, they got their families back. David got Abigail back. He got his joy back. The enemy was whispering, it's over. It's done. You're finished. Give up. What's the use of going on? But the Bible says he ended up getting it all back. And I just want someone here today to know that weeping may endure for the night, but joy is coming in the morning. I get the tears. I get the heartbreak, but joy is coming to your home again. In the Old Testament, the tabernacle would have been, for lack, just for our time today, this would be the church that God pastored. So if you want to know how God would pastor a church, I want to show you real quick. This is how God pastored his church. You guys ready for it? You guys ready? So I'm going to have seven guys come out. These are seven friends that are going to help me illustrate how God pastored the Old Testament tabernacle. This is how God set it up. This is how he instructed them to do it. And so the first person that you would run into, you wake up, you get ready, you know, you find your way to the tabernacle, you're walking up the sidewalk, you're walking into it, and you would come to the gatekeeper. The gatekeeper's name is Jephna, and Jephna, his name means God is giving. Everybody say, God is giving.
God is giving.
One more time, say, God is giving. And so this is the gatekeeper, and in just a minute, we're going to come to church together, and when we come to church and I run into the gatekeeper, he's going to say,
God is giving.
Nice, nice, nice. The next person you would run into is Johanan, and he was the worship leader, the singer, and his name in the Hebrew means God is gracious. It's actually Jehovah is gracious if you look it up, but God is gracious. Everybody say, God is gracious.
God is gracious.
Okay, very good. So I'm going to come to you, and you're going to say, nice, nice, nice. Okay, the next person you would run into is Jehoshaphat. He was the preacher. That's a name, isn't it? And his name in Hebrew means God is strong. Everybody say that with me. Say, God is strong.
God is strong.
So when I come to you, you're going to say,
God is strong.
Nice, nice, nice. Then you would run into Jehiah. He's the keeper of the ark. And his name in Hebrew means God is alive. Say that with me.
God is alive.
So when I come to you, you're going to say, God is alive. Very, very good. Y'all with me so far? Okay. We're going to the old. This is the church God pastored. It don't have to be your church. You can go to that bummed out, depressed, sad, everybody. You can do that if you want. That's just not the way God set it up. So then you had Jediah. He was the priest, and his name means God is knowing, because God knows. God knows. My God, you're big. Okay. Then you had Jedidiah. He just served. He was a layman, no office, just showed up to God's house and served. And his name means God is my friend. God is my friend. Isn't that good? God is my friend. And so then finally, you're on your way out of church and you would run into the man who oversaw the storehouses. His name was Johanan, and his name means God will provide. God will provide. God will provide. God will provide. So when I come to you guys know what you're doing, right? You guys got it? You guys got it? You feel good? You need to double check? Okay. All right. All right. So I roll out of bed. I wake up. I'm going to the Old Testament tabernacle. I've had a tough week. I mean, it's been a difficult week. Things have really come against me in my life. I'm not just saying it. It took everything I had just to get to church. I'm broken. I'm down. And I come to the front door of the church, and I run into the gatekeeper, and he says,
I'm the God of giving.
God is giving. Ah, sounds like a cliche to me. Well, these people, this happy, clappy stuff, I'm just not really into that. They don't understand the real world. And so I go a little bit further, and I run into the worship leader, and he says,
God is gracious.
God is gracious. God is gracious. Doesn't feel like he's gracious to me. I mean, no one has any idea the stuff I'm going through. This God is giving. God is gracious. That's not happening with me. So I go a little bit further into it, and the preacher starts preaching, and he says,
God is strong.
God is strong, but I'm weak. But I'm vulnerable. But I barely got out of the bed to get to church. God's strong? Come on, man. I need some real people. God's strong. Not strong in me. Where's that strength for me? Goes a little bit further. Runs to the priest and he says,
God is alive.
God is alive. Not alive in my life. Not doing nothing for me. Go a little bit further. And I run into this layman and he says,
God is knowing.
Yes, he is.
Your traps are insane. I mean, insane. Praying for a transfer, y'all. There's a transfer. I know you want to say he's alive. I know you want to say he's strong and he's gracious, he's giving. But you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what I've done. You don't know where I've been. You don't know the kind of week I've had. They don't know. These people don't get it. They don't really know. And maybe we don't, but he does. He knows. Well, if he does know, if he knows me, the real me, he wouldn't want anything to do with me. So I go a little bit further, and I run into this layman. Who says,
God is my friend.
God's my friend? Like God, like, would want to hang out with me. He'd want to spend time with me. He's interested in me. He's curious about me. Maybe he wants to hear from me. Maybe he's missing me. Maybe I cross his mind. David had that thought. He said, what is it that God would be mindful of me? He's my friend. I don't know if he could be a friend with someone like me. You know the reason they crucified the Lord of glory? It says because he was a friend of sinners. Not the religious folk, not the people that have it all together. He's your friend. Well, I mean, that's great, but it doesn't change my situation. It doesn't change that I came in here one way and I hear all that stuff, but it doesn't change anything. And then I get ready to leave, and I see the guy who oversees the storehouses, and he says,
God will provide.
God will provide. This is what I want you to see. In God's church, he made sure there was no place for the devil. No matter how you came in, how down it was, how discouraged you were, everywhere you turn, you got a message of victory, a message that God is giving. He's gracious. He's strong when I'm weak. He's alive even when I don't feel it or sense it. He knows my deepest, darkest, most desperate things that I wish that weren't a part of who I am. He knows. And in spite of all that, he's my friend. He sticks closer than a brother. What are you talking about? And he will provide. You don't know my need. God knows your need, and he will provide, and he is able. And you see, this is the thing. The point is not that we don't come in one way. The point is when God puts us in place, however people come in, they're not to turn us, we're to turn them. They're not to turn us to their negative situation. We're supposed to say, I get it. But let's just keep focusing on He's giving. He's gracious. He's strong. He's alive. He knows. He's your friend. And He's got your back. You're good, by the way. And He will provide. I'm saying this because we have people every single week that get up extra early. And they hold signs and they go into the parking lot and they greet and they're back at the welcome center and they usher and they check our children in and they watch our children and they run small groups and they're out doing outreaches. They're all over the place doing things throughout the week. You come in here, there's the ushers, there's the worship team, there's people behind the scenes running cameras. They're back there running technology to make sure that people can see by the thousands what's happening here. And there's people right now answering phones for people that are calling in from our television program to pray with them. And then there's people who respond to all the letters that we get from those who are incarcerated. And then we could just keep on going and going and going. All the different things that are happening at all times to care and love and pray and lift and encourage. And I just want to say to all of you who makes God's house an encouraging place for the broken to come, for the wounded to come, for the downtrodden to come. Thank you so much that they can come in here, and even though they're in a negative place, we learn how to encourage them until they get to the point where they say, I'm not going to stay here. I'm not going to stay that way. I know God can lift me out of it in Jesus' name. In closing, I heard a story years ago about a six-year-old girl who had trained and worked and practiced to sing a very special song to her church. And the piano player starts to play. She starts to sing and she's terribly off key. She knows it. She can see the look on people's face. She can see the look on the piano player's face. And so she's just embarrassed, mouth dry, lump in her throat. But the piano player encourages her and starts to play again. She starts to sing again and again. She's off key. Everybody can sense it. Everybody is uncomfortable. So he starts again. A third time she tries. She is still, she can't get her nerves back. She is completely off key. And so she's sad. She's about to give up. And the piano player starts a fourth time. This time the congregation can see what's going on. They can see how sad, how broken, how scared, how afraid, how worried, how confused she is because she's failed. She's practiced, she's worked, but she's failed. But the fourth time, the congregation starts to sing on key. And the louder they sing, it helps this young girl get on key. And then as she begins to sing, she begins to get more and more confident. She begins to find that strength in her voice. And all of a sudden, the congregation falls out and she finishes the song and blesses them. And what I'm trying to say, it is a normal thing for people to come in and they're off key. Life has gotten the best of them. And our job is to not throw people away and give up on people just because they come in and this season of their life, they're in a struggle. And this season of their life, they're going through this or that. Our job is to encourage them until they get back on key, until they find that strength, until they find their voice, until they find that gift that's on the inside of them to make a difference in their world. And then we can pull back and we can be encouraged by the change that's happened in their life. In other words, our job as people show up is to help turn people. Why? Because that attracts the Holy Spirit.
Hey, I'm praying that message spoke to you in a very real way. With that in mind, the Bible says if Jesus be lifted up, he draws all men unto himself. And that's our goal today, is to lift up the mighty name of Jesus. In that name, there's healing, there's salvation, there's forgiveness, there's restoration, there's a brand new beginning. Maybe you're hanging out with us today and you'd say, Marcus, I sense that there's been a drawing in my heart towards the Lord. And maybe you've just been exhausted with the way you've been living, exhausted with the ways of this world. And you've been saying, God, I need to know what to do. Well, our challenge to you today is let God draw you. Let God call you to that place where you can have a brand new beginning. Forgiveness is there. Love is there. Mercy is there. And one of the ways that you can do that is just simply, even right where you're at, just simply in your own heart and with your own mouth, just say these words. Say, Jesus, I'm done running. I want to come back home. Say this according to Romans 10 and verse 9. I believe that you're God's son. I believe that you're God's only son and that he raised you from the dead. I give you my life now. I repent. I turn from this world. I turn from my old life and I turn towards you. And I ask you to give me a brand new beginning in Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer, we believe that's the beginning of you saying, okay, God, I sense that you're drawing me, but we want to encourage you to call the number on the screen. There's a team of people there that can talk with you a little bit more, fill in some of the details that I don't have time to do right now. There's also a free devotional called Start Strong that they're going to give you. It'll teach you about prayer, about the Bible, about the local church, and we will get that to you. And so if you said, Marcus, I feel like it's my day for a brand new beginning, if you'll call the number on the screen, they'll get you that Start Strong devotional. Also, don't forget, we are giving away a brand new devotional on the book of Acts, just challenging us all to continue to be a part of God's story in the earth, that the same way God moved in the early church, God wants to move in our generation. And so if you'll call the number on the screen, they will get you that devotional absolutely free. And so that would be just such a blessing to us. Also, don't forget, come and hang out with us online pretty much right now. As soon as I wrap up my time together, go to marcusmeekum.com and hang out with us there. Until next week, it's been such an honor hanging out with you. God bless you.